بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, in tonight's Taraweeh Salah we commenced with Surah Al-Isra, which is named after the night journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah Mukarrama to Baytul Maqdis, which was the journey that preceded the Mi'raj. And this is the mentioned in the opening verse of the surah, Subhana alladhi asra bi abdihi. So this word asra and isra comes from here. That glory be to that being who took his slave on a journey by night from al-masjid al-haram to al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu, whose surroundings we had placed barakah, placed blessings in, linuriyahu min ayatina. And the purpose of this journey was to show him our great signs. Innahu huwa as-sami'u al-basir. Verily, Allah is all-hearing, all-seeing. So this is the one of the names of this particular surah. And the other more common name which we will find written in the Mus'haf, in our Qur'ans, is Surah Bani Israel, which is named after the people of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the Bani Israel, who were the forefathers of the current day, Yahud and Jews. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first page mentions regarding the Bani Israel that whenever they enjoyed any bounty, any favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as time would pass, they would begin to transgress, forget Allah, forget the teachings of the Nabi, and Allah would then send some punishment upon them, not to annihilate and wipe them out, but to make them realize and come back onto the true teachings of the Nabi. So in this particular surah, two such incidents are mentioned. وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ. Allah says, we had decreed, we had ordained for the Bani Israel, لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ, that you will cause havoc in the land on two occasions. وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا, and you will conduct yourself in an arrogant and haughty manner. So two major events where they caused havoc, they caused mischief, have been mentioned here. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah in Ma'ariful Quran writes, or records six major events, or six major instances where the Bani Israel caused havoc, caused mischief in the earth. And from those six, he then says that it seems as though two from those six are referred to in this particular verse. What is the first one? Allah mentions, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا. When the first promised occasion comes, بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ. What will be our punishment after you cause mischief in the land? Is that we will unleash upon you some servants of ours who are extremely powerful and mighty. They have military capability and strength. فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ. And then Allah describes how this group would overpower the Bani Israel and take over Baytul Maqdis. Allah says they would penetrate the innermost portions of your homes. In other words, they would completely take over and completely conquer the land. وَكَانَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا. And this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will definitely be fulfilled. So regarding this particular verse, the first incident which is mentioned here, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah says that this refers to the reign of Bukht-e-Nassr. Bukht-e-Nassr was a king from Babylon, and he had initially come to Baytul Maqdis. He had taken over and he had installed some person as the temporary ruler while he went back to his nation, to his hometown. The person who he had installed as a ruler was a mushrik, was an idol worshipper. And he, after some time, rebelled against Bukht-e-Nassr, and he failed to fulfill his wishes and his orders. So when this took place, the Bani Israel now, under the rulership of this temporary ruler and king, began to transgress, began to go against the teachings of the Nabi. So Bukht-e-Nassr was then once again came to Baytul Maqdis, but this time he launched a full-scale attack. He came with anger, with might, with power, and not only did he destroy the infrastructure, but narrations mention he killed approximately 70,000 men, and not just ordinary men, but 70,000 scholars, mimman yaqra'una at-Tawrah, those who had knowledge of the Torah. So the Bani Israel, the Yahud of the time, their scholars, their knowledgeable men, 70,000 were murdered by Bukht-e-Nassr. So this was the first punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon them when they had transgressed. Then Allah says, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا لَكُمُ الْكَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. When this is over, we will then once again grant you the upper hand. وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ بِأَمْوَالِ وَبَنِينَ. And we will assist you with wealth and with children. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. And we will make you large in number. So what had happened after the reign of Bukht Nasr, those from amongst the Bani Israel who had survived the massacre, they then went into exile and they went to Babylon and they took up residence there. And after a period of time, the Persian Empire then came and conquered Babylon, and they then permitted these Bani Israel to return back to their homeland, to Baytul Maqdis. And this is how they once again came into power in Baytul Maqdis. So once again, the Bani Israel, the Yahud, were now ruling over Baytul Maqdis. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Then Allah says, when the second promised time would come, and once again they transgressed, then we would once again send upon them some force, some army. لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ وَلِيَدْخُلُ الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ. And this army or this group would then smite their faces, and they would enter the masjid, meaning al-masjid al-aqsa, as they entered it the first time. وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْ تَتْبِيرًا. And they will completely destroy whatever they get hold of. Whatever they come into contact with, they will destroy. So this, according to Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah, took place approximately 40 years after the time of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The Bani Israel, the Yahud, were still occupying Baytul Maqdis, but it was at that time under Roman rule, and they began to rebel and transgress against the Roman leaders, and this caused them to unleash their might and their power against them, and they completely destroyed Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. It is mentioned that Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa remained in this condition right up until the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, when he then once again conquered, and it was then rebuilt and brought under Muslim rule. So these are two major events that took place amongst the Bani Israel, where they transgressed, they caused fasad, mischief in the earth, and Allah put them in their place by unleashing some army against them. But as we mentioned, these two incidents, whether these are the two that are referred to in this verse, or some other incidents, Allah knows best. Mufti Shafi Sahib has mentioned six particular incidents, but the lesson is very clear. Is especially when it comes to this group, the Yahud, the Bani Israel, this is Allah's system for them in this world, is that they will be dominant, they will have power, they will have might, but they will never use this fairly and justly. They will always be oppressive, they will always transgress, break the commands of Allah, and when they prolong this transgression, Allah will then wipe them out, Allah will then send some punishment and cause them to lose power and to lose dominance that they once enjoyed. So as we can see in today's time also, the Yahud of today, who outwardly seem to be dominant, seem to have some might, some power, but Allah's promise definitely will come, and they will once again see the day where they will be defeated and they will lose power and lose their control. So this was regarding the Bani Israel. Thereafter in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the importance of obedience to parents and respect to parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. Allah has decreed that you should not worship anyone besides Him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And that you should treat your parents with kindness. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. Allah says, if either one of them or both of them reach old age while you are living, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Then do not rebuke them in any way. Do not even say the word أُفْ to them. In other words, do not show displeasure. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't rebuke them. Don't speak harshly towards them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Rather speak in a gentle and kind tone to them. The hadith of Tirmidhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, woe be to that person who I am mentioned in front of him, ذُكِرْتُ عِنْدَهُ فَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيَّ, and he does not send durood upon me. Jibreel alayhi salam says, Ameen. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, or rather, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Jibreel, this conversation is taking place between the two of them. The second thing he says, woe be to that person who witnesses the month of Ramadan and does not secure his forgiveness. Again, Ameen is said. And the third time he says, woe be to that person who witnesses the old age of one or both of his parents, and he does not secure his Jannah through them. And again, Ameen is said. So that person who sees his parents reach old age, either his mother or father or both of them, then it is incumbent upon him to serve them to such an extent to respect them, obey them to such an extent that through them he earns his Jannah. Or else he will fall under the curse of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ Allah says that lower the wing of mercy to them. وَقُلْ And not only should you treat them kindly, but in privacy also, when you are not with them, make dua for them. What should you say? رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا O my Rabb, have mercy on them as they took care of me when I was young. Just as they had compassion for me, kindness for me, and they took care of me and looked after me, likewise you show mercy and compassion to them at this stage of their life. So this was with regard to parents. Many other injunctions that appear in the surah. Nevertheless, we thereafter commenced with Suratul Kahf. Many details have been mentioned in the surah regarding specific incidents. Very briefly, there are three major events that are mentioned. One is, the answer is brought in Surah Bani Israel. But the Mushrikeen, the Quraysh of Makkah, had sent two messengers, Nadar bin Harith and Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayth, to the Jews of Medina, asking them that how do we test this person, how do we test Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see whether he is a rightful Nabi or not. So the Jews came back to them with the answer that posed three questions to him. Ask him firstly about those youth who left their people and went into seclusion. Then pose the question to him regarding that leader who traveled the east and the west. And then pose the question to him regarding the reality of the ruh and the soul. So they came and they posed these three questions to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The third question, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ is mentioned in Surah Bani Israel. They ask you about the soul. Say to them, the soul is from the matters of my Rabb, and you do not have much knowledge about it. You cannot understand the reality of the soul and the ruh. So that was the third question. But the first two, those youth who secluded themselves and left their people, these were the youth known as Ashabul Kahf, which are mentioned in this particular surah. And the second question regarding that leader who traversed the east and the west, this was a person by the name of Dhul Qarnain, who also appears towards the end of the surah in the next juz, in the 16th juz, which inshallah we will hear tomorrow night. So these are the major incidents mentioned in the surah. And then of course the entire story of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his meeting with Khadir alayhi salam. Great, great lessons that we can take from there. Inshallah we'll continue the discussion tomorrow. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.